Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful, warm Pueblo, Colorado on this 19th day of May, 2009. We have a fun show in store for you today, dear listeners. It's our summer extravaganza program. And the mad movie man, A.J. Hockery, is here to rant and rave about this summer's film and DVD releases. Happily, my producer extraordinaire, Nikki Starr, is also here to help with the show. Nikki, are you eager to hear the mad movie man's summer picks?
Oh, you know I am. I look forward to this show.
I'm very, very happy. I feel exactly the same way because... Well, I'm eager to hear what he has to say. And AJ is one of our favorite guests, and you know how much we both enjoy his appearances. But I should remind our listeners a little bit about his background. We might have some new listeners who haven't heard from the Mad Movie Man or about him. But he's the horror expert for Real Talk Reviews, but he also writes film reviews for such sites as TerrorTube, Review Express, and Classic Movie Guide. But he's also the creator and lead film critic for Passport Cinema, a site devoted strictly to foreign language films. And just recently, Nikki, I believe I announced this a couple of weeks ago, AJ agreed to be our Movie Addict Headquarters DVD correspondent, so I'm hoping that we'll hear from him even more than we have in the past. So I should say a little bit also about summer, because it really doesn't start officially until late in June, but we always think the summer movie season starts earlier, so the 2009 summer movie season began with a bang this month, when Wolverine clawed his way into the multiplexes, and then it went into warp speed with Star Trek, followed by Angels and Demons, the sequel to The Da Vinci Code this past weekend. And now, during the rest of the summer season, which runs through August, there are so many highly anticipated films and DVDs that are scheduled to be released. So AJ, the Mad Movie Man, has a lot of territory to cover. Let's bring him on now. Hi, AJ. Welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Hey, Betty Jo. Glad to be back anytime, as usual.
Well, it's always a treat to have you as a guest. And I think we ought to start out with the theatrical releases. Which May movies have impressed you the most and why?
Well, I've only been able to catch a couple of May movies since I've been working a lot more, so I don't get to see everything right away. So I've been kind of catching up with April movies lately. Like, the last one I saw was Obsessed, which did not appeal to me so much. It could have been a good cheesy thriller, but it took itself a little too seriously, so I was kind of disappointed there. But easily, of the May movies released so far, I got to say my pick is Star Trek. It surpassed my expectations, because even though, because we've been seeing the past Star Trek movies for so long, and we've kind of gotten used to them, they've been more like big screen TV episodes than they have actual movies. And this is the first one that felt like a full-fledged summer blockbuster movie, and I kind of liked it. But I can also see where more, we're diehard Star Trek fans who kind of look at it and view it as much too big a change of pace from usual. But I was entertained the whole way, and I was impressed with what J.J. Abrams did with it.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned Star Trek, AJ, because to me, the best thing about Star Trek was the preview of Transformers 2, which showed along with it. I just loved that preview. It looks like I can hear Nikki giggling because that was her favorite movie, I think, of all last year, and I loved it too. And this preview, Nikki, when it just looks like it's going to be bigger and better and better than ever. So you and I can be excited about that. But Star Trek, I only saw about a third of it, AJ, and I think you know why. It was kind of like the Bourne ultimatum in outer space.
The shaky cam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anybody who is prone to migraine headaches will have a problem with Star Trek, and I probably shouldn't even comment about it any more than that, because only seeing a third of it, I did like, in that third, I did like the Zachary, is it Quinto or Quinto, the young guy who played Spock. I thought he was just excellent. And Anton Yelchin as the young Russian, I thought did an excellent job. But I wasn't all that impressed with the villain the times that I saw him. But again, you saw the whole thing from beginning to end, so you probably have a better reaction to it in terms of what type of a movie was and whether it was worth seeing or not. So that's one that you would highly recommend, right?
Yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from when it's, because this is meant to be sort of like a reboot. That's the popular term nowadays, a reboot of the whole Star Trek franchise. And so it was kind of reintroducing the characters to the audience. And with that, you kind of expect a little bit more. And with what you got, it was an above-average summer blockbuster type, but still, it was a very well-done movie and one of the better of the Star Trek series overall.
So the Star Trek diehards are supporting this movie, or you mentioned something about they're kind of disappointed. What have you been hearing about that?
Oh, well, just because it's a much more action movie mentality than the last Star Treks have. Because there's been the usual dogfights and the occasional explosion in the past movies, but this one is just full-fledged action, stuff blowing up for the vast majority of the movie. And I know a lot of Star Trek fans just kind of don't like that. They thought that was more of the Star Wars territories where the action was. This was more thought put into it and just more trying to decide what I want to say here. Just sort of enjoying the universe that they created more than just using it as an arena to blow stuff up. But still, it was interesting and it was entertaining for me.
And everyone who is into time travel will probably enjoy this movie because there is an aspect of time travel going backwards and forwards in time. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's been another point of contention among the fans. But I think it was a very good way because what they did was they used the whole time travel aspect to make the movie fit within the usual Star Trek timeline. But at the same time, it's a way for J.J. Abrams and all the people under his command to go, all right, this is our opportunity to kind of experiment, fool around with the formula without completely demolishing what people love about Star Trek.
Good point. I know how much J.J. Abrams loves time travel because he certainly is doing a lot of it with Lost. And we do get in on television, and we do get a little bit mixed up about who's where and when are they going to get back. So he does love that time travel. Well, so okay, Star Trek. Then have you had a chance to catch Star Trek, Nikki?
I actually have not. I decided to wait until I got home with Demos to see it because we're such huge Star Trek fans. However, I feel exactly the way you do about the motion camera. I don't understand it. I don't like it at all in a movie, and so I'm really worried
Well, I think that it has more times where it isn't jerky than the Bourne Ultimatum had. So you will be able to see. Well, the Bourne Ultimatum had the most, really, that I've ever seen. So Star Trek doesn't have that much. In other words, I was able to watch a third of this movie, whereas I couldn't watch any part of the Bourne Ultimatum. I just sat there with my eyes closed and listened. I heard the dialogue, and that was about it. But I think for anybody who likes Star Trek, you probably should take in that movie, and it probably should be seen on the big screen. Don't you think that's correct, AJ?
Oh, definitely. It's not something to wait for DVD to see, just to get the full effect of just the special effects and the scope of the movie. On TV, it'll play all right, but not the same as old-fashioned, go out to the theater, big tub of popcorn and a Coke, and just have fun.
It might not be as noisy at home, though, but...
yeah, that's true.
But I do recommend
And you can pause the DVD to get queasy from the camera effects.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Well, I'm so disappointed that you didn't mention a couple of my favorite May movies. So, of course, I will have to bring them up. And I absolutely loved Wolverine. I absolutely thought it was. I wonder why. I wonder why I loved Wolverine. But
I think a slight bias with the stars involved.
There might be. I'm not very objective where Hugh Jackman is concerned. But you know, this was really a very high-powered revenge movie, and that theme usually hits home with me. And I thought that the screenwriters did a great job, the director did a great job of emphasizing that theme, but still allowing us to see some of Wolverine's vulnerable parts of his personality. And, of course, Hugh Jackman was just wonderful in it. And we got to see a lot of Hugh Jackman also in all his glory. But it had great character development and story development, especially during the first part of the film. The man who played Wolverine's brother, Liev Schreiber, was excellent too. And the whole movie was more or less the relationship between these two brothers, and then the betrayal, and then the revenge that went along with that, and also how it happened that Wolverine got amnesia and also was made indestructible by letting his whole body be replaced with some kind of indestructible element. And it held my interest clear to the end. In fact, usually when a movie like this ends, I go, oh, okay, fine, yeah, amen, and all that. But I wanted to see more, and I kept thinking, well, I wonder what happened next. So I'm ready for the next installment of what's happened to Wolverine. So I definitely recommend that movie. What did you think about Wolverine, AJ?
Well, I'm with you on how the first half of the movie, or the first part of the movie at least, was the best. Because I really liked, because when you see the X-Men movies, you kind of pick up with Wolverine in the middle of his story. He's just kind of there, and he is a character who's worth diving into, especially nowadays when you have The Dark Knight and Iron Man, who delve into the psychoses of their characters a lot more instead of just, oh, here's Wolverine, and just throw a bunch of explosions and call it a day. And they started out doing that, which I really liked. But as the film went on, for me, it felt like they kind of left the story behind and tried to please the fans a little too much, just kind of by throwing in all these mutant cameos from the comics to keep fans happy. And it just got a little bit distracting, and it felt like they just kind of gave up moving forward. And at the end, it did have that whole mentality of just have Wolverine running around doing a bunch of action stuff rather than go ahead with the character development. So I was kind of disappointed in that department.
But I could actually watch the action, and maybe that's another reason why
maybe.
I enjoyed it so much. There, you know, I mean, it was fast, but it wasn't jerky, and I always appreciate it when the cinematography is something that allows me to actually watch it. So, how about the soloist? To me, that that's the best movie that's been released so far this year. I think that Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx should get Oscar nominations. They were so great in The Soloist. Did you happen to catch that one?
Nope, I haven't seen that one yet, and I have heard mixed reactions on it.
Yes.
It does seem to be one of those love-it-or-hate-it movies, and the people who haven't liked it so much have said it's kind of cloying and a little bit overly sentimental, but you know me, I watch everything, so I'll give it a watch someday, probably on DVD.
Well, I think you could watch this on DVD, and it wouldn't lose any of its appeal, but it's all about friendship and music, and while it's still playing in the multiplexes, I think it, you know, I'm definitely recommending it. It's, to me, in this crazy world of ours, finding a true friend has to be one of life's most treasured gifts, and that's what this movie is all about, how a journalist who's seeking a story happens to discover this homeless, rather bizarre, actually mentally disturbed musical genius who just is so obsessed with Beethoven. And how, and then of course Robert Downey Jr. is the journalist, and Jamie Lee Foxx is the homeless genius. And the relationship between these two, and how Robert Downey Jr.'s character gets so upset when some of the things that he tries to do to help this friend backfire, and seeing the interactions between these two marvelous actors, both of them are at the top of their game. So that one, I think, people will be hearing about from me all during the year, right through award season, because I thought it was so great. And you know what? I actually also liked Angels and Demons, and I wasn't expecting to. Of course, it has a very far-fetched plot, but Tom Hanks plays the noted symbologist Robert Langdon, and he's the one that's saying some kind of far-fetched things, but it's Tom Hanks, so we believe him. And it has a mystery. It has the locations in the Vatican, the beautiful cinematography of the statues, the churches, the crimson-robed cardinals. It has lots of action. It's got a wonderful cast, including Ewan McGregor and Armin Mueller-Stahl. And that's one that you need to see on the big screen. So if you haven't seen it yet, AJ and Nikki and listeners, I would say give that one a look before it leaves the big screen, because otherwise you'll be missing the spectacle that's on the screen. It also is almost like a history lesson, because you learn a lot about some important figures from the past, like Galileo and Bernini, and then you hear these provocative conversations about science versus religion. So it's worthwhile on many levels to see Angels and Demons. But I think maybe we should move out of May, the theatrical releases for May, and take a guess or a prediction at the upcoming summer film releases in June, July, and August. Which ones are you looking forward to, and why, AJ?
Well, I know we're short on time, but I picked a top five for the movies that I'm looking forward to this summer. So let's kind of run through these and just give a brief description on them. At number five, I have District 9, which is another sci-fi movie, but just from the looks of the teaser, it doesn't look like it's going to be a typical bang-bang shoot-'em-up sci-fi movie. From what I understand, it's sort of like some aliens have made a home on Earth, and it's more about the relationships they have with people than it is about filling the screen with explosions and special effects. And that idea intrigues me, and I'm definitely interested to see where this goes. I believe it could be one of the sleeper hits of the summer. A lot of people aren't going to see this one coming.
No, I hadn't heard of it, so thank you. Okay, and number four?
My number four pick, and as you said earlier, I'm the horror expert on Real Talk, so I got to have at least one on here. My number four pick is Drag Me to Hell, which is...
What a title!
Yeah, it's one of those things. You have to see it on principle alone, like Snakes on a Plane. You have to go see a movie with that title. And the reason I'm looking forward to this is that after doing Spider-Man for the past few years, Sam Raimi is returning to the genre that made him famous with the Evil Dead movies, which is how I discovered him and most people my age discovered him.
Right.
And I'm hoping it's going to be a return to form for him, and from the early reviews I've been hearing, it is, and it will not disappoint, so I'm looking forward to that.
Great.
My number three pick is Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds, if only to see Quentin Tarantino do a war movie. Because even though Kill Bill had its fair share of action and special effects, at the end it was still another one of his dialogue-driven movies. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he handles what look to be more action sequences in this one, how he balances that out with the dialogue that he's become known for. And I'm looking forward to pretty much on Tarantino alone, but from the ads I've been seeing and the trailers, it just looks to be a pretty good movie.
Right, what a cast.
Yeah, no kidding. Eli Roth, Brad Pitt, even Mike Myers is in this one.
And Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman and Diane Kruger from the National Treasure movies and Troy. And
yeah,
my
number three.
Yeah, my number three pick. And my number two pick is Up. Just because Pixar has the most sterling track record of any studio out there. It just looks to be another one of their just wonderful, funny, beautiful animated movies, and I cannot wait for it.
It looks so great from the previews. And number one is, a drum roll please.
All right, my number one pick is Public Enemies.
Yay!
For two reasons, and two reasons alone. One, Johnny Depp, because he's just awesome. And two, I love gangster culture, and I love gangster movies. And part of this was filmed in Wisconsin, which is where I reside in my humble abode.
Yeah.
And there's this documentary I saw a couple of years ago called Gangster Holidays, which is all about all the Chicago gangsters and their exploits in Wisconsin. And I just thought it was the most fascinating thing. And this looks to be a big screen version of that. And I am looking forward to it. It's got Michael Mann as director, who did
Yay.
Such a great job with Heat and Collateral. And to
a lesser extent,
Miami Vice. It had its moments, though. And I'm just excited more than anything for Public Enemies.
Well, I am just agreeing with you wholeheartedly about Public Enemies. I just can hardly wait to see it. It starts on July 1st, so we will have to wait a while, but so that's definitely on my list. I don't have them in any order, but Public Enemies, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince is also on my list, and that starts July 15th. I can hardly wait to see that. The Proposal on June 19th with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. I think the idea is an amusing one about the boss, played by Sandra Bullock, who forces her assistant, a younger assistant, played by Ryan Reynolds, to marry her so that she won't be deported back to Canada. And I think those two have such comic flair, so together they ought to give us a few laughs. I'm also looking forward to Julie and Julia on August 7th. This is the Julia Child, from the Julia Child memoir starring Meryl Streep. And the Julie, and it is played by Amy... Oh, I know. She was in Enchanted. Why can't I
Amy Adams.
You got it. Amy Adams, and who was so great in Enchanted, and will be playing a young lady who's trying to make all of the recipes of Julia Child. So that should be interesting. And then, Mr. Horror Expert, I am looking forward to Orphan that starts on July 24th, simply because I saw the previews, and that looked like the meanest little kid I have ever seen.
I saw it already when it was called The Omen. Yawn.
Oh, The Omen. You saw it instead of Orphan. It was called The Omen. Well, I wonder if we should check with our chat now, Nikki. Are there any movies that are being asked about or commented on from the chat that you'd like to share with AJ and me? Did we lose Nikki?
Sorry about that. No, I was muted.
I thought you were multitasking. Yeah.
I was. I'm not even going to tell you what I was doing. But yeah,
all right.
I was muted. No, there's really, everybody's disagreeing with what you're saying in the chat room, and it's been kind of quiet. I think that I saw Underworld, the new Underworld.
Oh, yes.
Yep, and we were wondering if you had seen that or wanted to talk about that. I'm a little bit behind on the movies. And otherwise, everybody's just in the chat room, just chatting away.
Well, okay. Well, we appreciate the people in the chat room chatting away. And your question or the chatter's question about Underworld is a good one. That leads us to the DVDs. We were going to talk about them. And so, AJ, what's your opinion about Underworld, The Rise of the Lycans? Which is, I think it's out now, isn't it, on DVD?
Yep.
It came out this month. Yes, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I have to say this. I've never been a big fan of the Underworld series only because they have such a great concept, like vampires and werewolves just doing battle with each other, which is more than deserving of an awesome movie. But so far, none of them have really utilized it or made a fantastic movie. The first Underworld was all right. It had its moments, but on the whole, it wasn't anything special. The second was almost incomprehensible. I had like no clue what was going on between the dark lighting and just the terrible editing. I was too busy trying to figure out which way was up and to follow the story. Now, this Rise of the Lycans, I have to say it's better than Underworld Evolution, the second one, but that's a pretty hollow victory, just because it didn't feel necessary. Because from what I've gathered, this movie thinks a great deal more of itself than I do. It likes to pretend that it's some great tragedy that people are just clamoring to know what went on behind what spurned this whole war of the vampires versus werewolves. And what they provided just, it kind of made me go, really? That's it? I could have written that in two days. Like, that's it?
Yeah, check this out. You're going to be surprised at that I agree with him about this.
Nikki, please. Stop.
My heart. I know.
Mark this moment in time. Nikki Starr and AJ Hockery agree.
Yep.
Okay.
Because normally we disagree on most everything because I'm right and he's wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey.
check this out, AJ. I have to agree. And then this is actually the conversation that I had with my mother after the movie. Okay, remember when you saw what happened when they discussed how it started in the previous movie? They showed a flashback. That's really all this movie was an extended. You didn't really need to know the information. We already knew it.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
It was this long, extended story of that one little tiny flashback.
I'm glad I didn't see it. I'll just pass on that one then.
And I'm just disappointed with the series because the werewolves don't look like werewolves. They look like giant mutant bears.
Okay. I love the transformations. So that was one of the things that I loved. But he's right. They look like wolves walking. I have to agree. Although it was brutal and wicked, which I like, but it wasn't what I was expecting. I don't know. And it really was I was really disappointed because you know which scene I'm talking about. I don't want to give it away. I'm pretty sure everybody's already seen it, but the whole love story, there was one flashback and this was the whole, it was just so drawn out.
It just felt like they're like, well, we need a reason to come up with this whole thing. Oh, well, they had this love affair. All right, that's it. Let's go for lunch. And they just didn't put any more effort or thought into it beyond that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear from both of you because I was going to check it out, but I think I'm gonna pass on that. Well, there have been so many interesting DVDs released this May, and there's going to be some excellent ones, you know, the next couple of months. So, Mr. DVD correspondent, which DVDs are the best ones that we should be looking at and maybe checking out?
All right. I have my top three picks for the May DVDs here. And my number three pick is Taken, which found a surprising amount of success this past January, despite it being available online for about a year or so because it came out in Europe before it hit America, and it was just a runaway smash. And although
and
I don't
Liam
think
Neeson. Liam Neeson.
Yes, that
was the
Liam
star.
Neeson
yeah.
going after his kidnapped daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And although
that
I didn't think
great.
It was a I didn't think it was a fantastic movie, but it did what it did with flair, and it was entertaining. It was just a good movie. It was a good, fun action movie, and it's perfect for DVD. Just on a rainy day, you're in the video store, you're like, you know what, Taken sounds good, and your evening is set. You won't be disappointed.
I agree.
All right, my number two pick coming out today, actually, is Valkyrie, the thriller with Tom Cruise as the lead of, as the head of this group of Nazis conspiring to kill Hitler. And it's sort of like Miracle in how you know what the ending's going to be. You have a very good idea of how it's going to turn out, but you're still just there, just racked with suspense. It does such a good job of getting you involved with the characters. You're kind of like, you're on the edge of your seat, even though you know it's not going to end well for the main characters and their goals. But it's very well acted.
The production values were just superb in Valkyrie.
Yeah, the historical detail was just on the nose. It was just very well done. And the ensemble cast. This is one of the best casts of any movie last year. You got Tom Cruise, Kenneth Branagh, Terrence Stamp, Bill Nighy, Tom Wilkinson, yes. Eddie Izzard, just fantastic
yes.
group of actors.
It really surprised me. I wasn't that excited about seeing it, and I liked it very much. So I'm glad that's on your list. And what's your number one for me?
My number one is one that I believe you weren't too hot with it, so you may be disappointed with it. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Oh dear.
Which was there you go. I got to say, this was my favorite of the Best Picture nominees, now that I've seen all of them. This was my favorite of the bunch, and just because it was just a really cool, unique story, because I liked how, at the end of the day, it was the main message was, it's not what kind of a life you lead, it's how you lead it. And I just thought it was a very unique, very well-done film that there's some movies that I really like just because they did such a great job of keeping me involved, not because of any spectacular moments or spectacular performance, just because overall they took the concept and ran with it, and this was one of those times.
Yes, and I...
That's
I'm
very idealistic of you.
It is, isn't
Thank
it?
You.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is.
I'm
but,
impressed.
But it's a very curious movie, and I think it's a curiosity, and I think people should see it, so I'm not going to argue with you, AJ, about that, because after all, it did get nominated as Best Picture. And I have a couple of recommendations of two other movies that are coming out on DVD, or maybe they're already out this past week. And these were two films that were on my top 10 list. I've talked about them several times before on the show, so I won't take up time. I will just say be sure to see Last Chance Harvey with Dustin Hoffman and Emma Thompson. It's delightful. It's poignant. It's the type of movie that makes you feel good, and it shows that it's never too late for romance. And then Wendy and Lucy, I think people should see that because it contains what I thought was one of the best performances of the year by Michelle Williams. It's sort of a girl and her dog movie, but it's a lot more than that. So I think it's just so great with these DVDs coming out of some of the best movies from last year, because a lot of people weren't able to see them. So it's just wonderful to know that we'll have a chance. Those people will have a chance now, and the ones that wanted to see them over again will also. What about some of the ones that you haven't seen that are coming out in during the rest of the summer, not just May? Are there some that you would like to recommend? I wanted to mention The International, Inkheart, and I also had Taken on my list, but I had some warnings for people about Confessions of a Shopaholic, New in Town and Fired Up. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, some of those I just kind of would watch out. But how about you? What are the ones that are coming out that you think people should take a look at, or and some of them that maybe they should stay away from?
Well, some of the ones that I'm looking forward to that I didn't actually get to see that are coming out in June, one is Revolutionary Road, which reunites Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet after Titanic. And I never did get around to seeing this, but I've heard a lot of good stuff, and I've heard good things about those two and Michael Shannon, who got a Best Supporting Actor nomination for this movie. And also actually coming out next month is the 50th anniversary of The Diary of Anne Frank. And I remember seeing parts of this movie in, I believe it was middle school, and my memory is shady, but I remember I was really impressed with what I saw, and I definitely plan on checking it out now that it's being reissued in an anniversary set. And another one I've been looking forward to is Waltz with Bashir, which was arguably the favorite to win Best Foreign Language Film this year at the Oscars. It didn't.
Yes.
Departures from, I believe it was Japan won, but mm-hmm. it looks to be another very unique and very powerful movie from what I've heard, and I can't wait to see that when it does come out. And but for movies that people should stay away from, I'm definitely with you on Shopaholic. I can't imagine being a woman and watching this movie without being offended on so many levels. Like especially during this time of economic crisis, and here's a movie that's all about, hey, let's go shop for Gucci shoes. And it's like, what are you, this is supposed to be funny? I'm supposed to like this person who lies her way through most of the movie and gets away with it? And I was just almost disgusted with this movie. I had a difficult time watching it.
And it was supposed to be a comedy, and I put it on the same level with Fired Up, which was about these the two guys that went to the cheerleading camp instead of football camp. And, I mean, any of you listeners who are wannabe cheerleaders, you have to know how you have to have athletic ability and enthusiasm and energy, but you don't have to see Fired Up.
Yeah, exactly. You can leave that alone.
Fired Up should have been hosed down.
The one funny scene in the movie is when the whole crowd is like watching Bring It On and reciting it word for word. That was kind
exactly.
of amazing.
Well, it was, but it really reminded you what a wonderful film Bring It On was about cheerleading. That's definitely my favorite cheerleading movie. So there's
another one that I have to warn people about. I didn't get to review it for Real Talk, because I ended up doing it for Review Express, but Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li continues a tradition of really, really bad video game movies. And if you've seen the original Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia, which was one of his last performances, a movie that he was dying while he was making, that movie is so much better than this because it actually had a sense of humor about itself. It realized what goofy fun it had within itself, and it realized it here. This movie just takes itself too seriously, takes way too many liberties with the characters from the games, and just creates one of the most boring excuses for an action movie of the decade, let alone the year. It was really disappointing, and video game fans and action fans, stay far away.
Well, I think I'm going to take you up on that, and I do have to warn you, though, about Revolutionary Road.
Uh-oh.
Because, first of all, I'll tell you that Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio were great in terms of their acting. They were like Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton back in the days when they made Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. They really know how to argue, and they really know how to get each other unhappy. But it certainly is not a film that, it's a downer. I'm going to say it's a downer. I'm going to say that it had a very, very shocking ending. And the film was trying to show you what a husband and wife were going through when they were struggling to survive in suburbia during the 1950s. But by the time we know the answer to what's wrong with their marriage, we've run out of empathy for both of the characters. And we can't blame suburbia for their problems. Lack of respect, fidelity, and compassion in a marriage can make the partners miserable, no matter whether you live in the 1950s or whether you live in 2009. So just be forewarned about that. You'll see some great acting, but you will. I'm eager to hear what you would think about it. I wouldn't say don't go see it, or I mean don't get the DVD. But just understand what's going on there. But again, I want to tell people about The International. That has Clive Owen's best performance ever. It's a thriller. It's action-packed, and again, no jerky camera. And also, Inkheart, which is a wonderful fantasy that the whole family can enjoy. So those are two that I would highly recommend. Are there any other comments about DVDs you want to add, AJ? I think our time is almost up. I'm so sorry about that, because are we okay? All right.
Yes,
thanks,
we actually
Vicky.
Have about 5 more minutes. I have one comment. I'm just going to interrupt really quick.
Sure,
AJ,
go ahead.
Betty Jo, did you see Bolt?
Oh, Bolt.
I saw Bolt.
Wonderful.
I liked it.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's
okay,
just terrific.
It just came out for me. I just got it. I got it at the same time I got Twilight and
Twilight, don't mention that.
I know. I don't like it. I don't like it. You see, there's
Thank
another
you.
Thing we agree
Thank
on.
You.
And not only did I not like it, I abhorred it. Okay, I'm serious.
Oh,
no.
Thank you. You've made
okay.
my day.
I guess I'm the only
it's
one in the minority.
Because I'm a true blood type of vampire person. And when he went into the sun and glittered, that was it for me.
You're a traditional vampire person.
Yeah.
So, but Bolt, we will all agree. We'll all agree on Bolt. So, anything else about DVDs, AJ? Before we close the show.
Nothing that I can think of. But I just wanted to just to go back for the summer movies. There are a couple of them coming soon that don't look so great. One of them is G.I. Joe: The Rise of Cobra. And I'm speaking as a fan who grew up with the G.I. Joe cartoons, and I had more toys, G.I. Joe toys, than you could possibly imagine. And it just looks like a terrible, really lame action movie. And another one is Imagine That, only because it looks to be another movie that's wasting the talents that I know Eddie Murphy has, and he deserves better than Norbit and Meet Dave, and this looks to be the latest stop on his career going down the tubes.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I think I'll probably see it because of the little girl in it looks really cute, and it's a fantasy, and I love fantasies, but I know what you mean about the Eddie Murphy movies. So, well, I just have enjoyed this so much, AJ. You have just a wealth of information, and you're always so informative and so much fun. So I want to thank you very, very much for ranting and raving about the summer DVDs and theatrical releases in our summer extravaganza. Please
You're
come
welcome,
back
Betty
soon.
Jo.
And please come back soon, will you?
Definitely. Always glad to be back.
Great. Well, this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with this show. Special thanks to Nikki Starr for everything she does to make Movie Addict Headquarters happen, and to Jazz Shaw for being co-host. We hope he returns soon. Thanks also to everyone who listened live or to the archives or took part in the chat. We really appreciate it. Please come back next time for another lively discussion about movies. And in the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. When you get to that site, you will find some reviews by the Mad Movie Man. Now, as usual, here's A.J. Daniels to take us out with a song dedicated to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
Thank you.